You know, first of all, I do want to thank, totally God. God has a way. You can't put God's stories together. You know, when I think of starting in Maryland, Montgomery County, then going to Baltimore, then going to Richmond and Charlottesville and Hampton Roads and coming back home, you don't write stories like that. God writes those stories. And, I am so grateful. Not only, walking into the building brought back so many memories. And, one of the things, I am so grateful for one of my best friends in the whole world, Ruben and Barbara, and, to come back to work side by side with my partner, my friend. The only thing is that he's a Steelers fan, I'm a Ravens fan, and that's the power of, only God can write a story like that. But there's still hope for you. The Bible says, thou shall not steal her. So there is hope. But it is great to be here. And also, if you can keep Scott Davis, he just left to go to Alabama to be with his mom. And we had some time to pray together on the phone as he was traveling. So pray. I think his mom's not in a good place right now. So please be keeping the Davises in your prayer. Next week, it'll be my 21st birthday in the Lord. And, it's amazing because we don't see each other a lot. I am so grateful, Henry. So grateful that 21 years ago that you listened to the Holy Spirit. And I know that's all God, but when I see your face, your story has been spread through so many people on how you reached out to me at the University of Maryland. So all of this just kind of floods back. So it's a bit overwhelming. We're going to preach the word in a few minutes. But for now, let me feel just a little bit. I got to get this out. But after I became a disciple, that first summer I went home. I'm from Baltimore. And I went home. And I found this household of, it had to be like 15 brothers up in that household. And it was downtown Baltimore near Lexington Street. And it was Cleveland Wells. It was Scott Pettis, Jonathan Hebb, Abu Jauga. And I remember walking to that house and I'm thinking, these brothers are on fire for God. And the things that I learned from these brothers, it's only a testament of God of where I am today. They taught me. They put me under their wing. I think that's when Marcel became a disciple. They were studying with him as I came there. And so my roots are all in Maryland. And one of the most precious memories is that God brought this princess from Virginia to Maryland. And, where we're staying is the place. It's right across the street where I asked her to be my wife. And I went there this morning to pray, and I was praying, I was walking around, I was praying, the gazebo that everything is the same, except for the gazebo. It's gone. I think God was so pleased. That like Enoch, he just took the gazebo away, it's in heaven. But so grateful for everything, But amen, we serve a great God, and hopefully, turn to your Bible. Let's get into the Word. Turn to Joshua. And Joshua, turn to Joshua chapter 5. One last thing here. I apologize to all of you that I think I've gotten the whole state in trouble. I'm already talking smack about how we're going to win the next flag football championship. So I've worked it so that the whole state, we can get a team together as a state. So I look at some of y'all, I remember some of y'all being fast, but y'all not fast no more. There was a time I'm like, bro, you ready? Like my back. I'm like, what do you mean you're back? I'm still 25 years old. We can do it. He's like, no, you're not. You still got it. I'm going to put my glasses on and start rapping in a few minutes, Ray. But amen, I'm talking smack. We've had the trophy for the last 2 years, so I'm gonna give it to him in June, and we're gonna bring it back to Maryland. Amen. Amen. But Joshua chapter 5, we're gonna jump into the Word. Just a few things here for us today. We pick up in the Bible in God's history, and I think that's the best way when you read the Bible. It's not history. This is God's history. And as we pick up in the book of Joshua, God has just brought his people across the Jordan. And he brings them into the promised land. And as they enter the promised land, now they're faced with challenges. And sometimes when we experience God working, there's challenges on the other side. And when they entered in chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. So when they heard about the power of God, their hearts melted with fear. And what do they do? Chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. They were so afraid of this God that they went in their city, slammed the gates. No one went in, no one went out. And they stood there in fear because of our great God that we serve today. You know, when we read God's history and God's people, we know that God's people can be a bit fickle. God to do a great miracle, and they're like, yes, and next thing you know, they're grumbling, they're complaining. So now they face a new challenge. They enter into the promised land, and now the question is, will they keep being faithful? Now they're there, and God has delivered them. Will they keep trusting in God? Now that the manna has stopped coming and they're eating the fruit of the land, will they still trust in their God? You know, the first battle they had to face when they walked into the promised land, it wasn't the battle of Jericho, it was a battle of their faith. I'm going to talk about our faith this morning or this afternoon, wherever we are today. We may finish by evening. But their first battle was a battle of faith. They walk in and hear this huge wall, this fortified city that they probably have never seen before. And they walk in across the Jordan and this wall, 20 feet high, 6 feet wide, double layer wall. And they're walking in. And now, are you going to still believe God can deliver now that you hit your first challenge? But you know the thing I love about this scripture today? I want to encourage us. Before they even took a step towards Jericho, before they even walked up to the wall, the battle was already won. You know, we live in days of, I think, just spiritually it can be challenging. Are you with me? I think we live in a world where our faith, we wrestle with our faith day in and day out. We're wrestling to have faith when we hit challenges. But one of the things I want to communicate to us today, that where you are right now, if you are in Christ, the battle is already won. We already have victory in Christ even before the challenge comes before our eyes. If we, as the state of Maryland, if we as God's people can already see the victory, the battle is already won because we're in Christ. If we already see the victory before we respond, oh my goodness, what great faith and what great joy that we live in. You know, I want to talk about just a few things today about the battle being already won. Look in Joshua chapter 5. I haven't lost you yet, have I? In chapter 5 and verse 13, I got 10 points. Divided by 3, minus 1. I'm not sure how that works out. But in verse 13, the Bible says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, so now they enter in. So Joshua came in, and I think he was just near Jericho by himself with his head down and looking at the walls like, how are we going to do this? So when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him. Now, let's stop for a second. Now, this guy must have been pretty flat out amazing. And he had a sword in his hand. And Joshua, you talking about courage? He goes up to this man, and I think he was like, I'm ready to fight. You ready to fight? Because I'm ready to fight. But he goes on, he says, he went up to him and says, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither replied. But as command of the arm of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, well, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The command of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. And Joshua, he did so. You know, as Joshua approached this man, and many people believe this commander was Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because he bowed down and worshiped, and he didn't stop the worship. So he confronts his commander, and what amazed me about Joshua, he's a commander, and he's a leader. But what amazes me about Joshua is that his first response was what? He fell down and worshiped. He was a commander. He was in charge. But when he saw the commander of the Lord of hosts, his response was, I'm not in charge anymore. You're in charge. And then his next words was, what message does the Lord have for a servant? You tell me what is my next move. You tell me where we're going next. You tell me what is God's direction, because where he goes is where I go. My first point today is you got to acknowledge who's a true commander. You got to acknowledge who's really in charge. The first battle that Joshua had to fight was a battle of his will. Well, who's going to be in charge? Is it going to be me or is it going to be God? It reminds me back in Matthew 26. Before Jesus went to the cross. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. Last year I was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a very emotional place to think that you're there praying. And you're thinking about my Lord was right here. And he was crying out to God. And he's praying to God. But his prayer was, not my will be done, but. And he's wrestling. Now here's the thing I wrestle with is that he's wrestling in the prayer, but the victory was already going to be won. He was already going to conquer the grave. He was already going to conquer sin and Satan, but the victory was already won. But the challenge was, not my will be done, but your will be done. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Who's winning the battle of the will in your life today? Is Jesus still the true commander of your life? Remember when you said, Jesus, Lord, and where you go, I will go. You remember that? You remember before you got baptized, you said, yes, Jesus, Lord. Is Jesus still Lord? It's quiet in here today, but I'm okay with quiet. Do we still have the spirit as disciples of Jesus Christ? What will you have your servant do? I worship you. I've got my plans. I've got my dreams. I've got everything I want to do. But if Jesus says so, I will go where you've called me to go. You know, when I think about the state of Maryland and the 6 million souls and the 30 plus campuses, not counting community colleges and everything else, when I think about our family and I think about our friends and I think about our children, you know what I feel? Overwhelmed. I feel like, God, we can't do this. This is not possible. I think it's Joshua and Jericho, like, we can't do this, but God says, you're right, but I can. I can do it. But the challenge starts is, will God's people submit and reverent submission continually to Jesus Christ? Will we bow down and worship and says, God, where will you have me to go? Because where you want me to go, I submit and I will go. It's a battle of the will. But here's the encouraging thing. See, you don't got to worry. Maryland has already been won. It's not an issue of what we do. God has already, he's going to do that. So it's not, well, how do I do it? It's never been about you, and it's not about you right now. God is like, I got this. I got this. But will you? Will you? Will you worship me? And will you follow me where I am calling you to go? You know, God is right now working on someone's heart. At this moment, right now, and some of you in this fellowship, God is already, he's working on our family and our children. He's peeling back the walls of our heart. He's already doing that. That has nothing to do with us. When Saul, in Acts chapter 9, when he was converted, Ananias just picked up God's victory. God had already worked on his heart. Ananias had to trust God and go and do what God called him to do. When Henry met me in front of Hornbake, and they shared the gospel, and as we sat at that table, I still remember it like it was yesterday. And we sat at that table, and he was challenging me. God was just using him, but God had been working on my heart already. I'm having failed relationships. I'm feeling disappointed. I'm thinking, I'm an engineer. I play football, and I hate my life. And it's so empty. He just listened to God's call. But Jesus was already working on my heart right now. Jesus is working on someone's heart right now. It could be your neighbor, a coworker, a classmate. And all he's saying is, look, who's going to be in charge now? Are you going to give up your will? Are you going to continue to do what you've been doing for years? I walk in here, I am so inspired. And I'm seeing Meryl up here singing songs. I'm like, that is God working through Meryl's life. I'm seeing my friends, I'm seeing Fred. Fred's waving. I'm like, that's my boy. That's God working through his life. You know, and I go around, and one of my heroes in the faith, I saw Chris Garrett sitting over there. Troy, Chris. Hey, Troy. What's up, man? When'd you get here? Oh, her? You need to praise God. But I'm thinking God is already working. I think, but the challenge is, will we continue? Will we continue? Will we continue? Are you with me, church? Will we continue? That when Jesus speaks, when we read his word, when the scriptures are open, will we continue to submit and bow down in reverence and say, God, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. You speak and I will listen. I take it you're thinking right now. God's word, it still moves hearts today like it did 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. You know, I think my biggest challenge, I just got to stay enlisted in God's army. I got to stay and listen. I can't step out because, hey, my life, I got this, that, I got this. No, I got to stay focused on Jesus Christ. I can't lose my focus on Jesus. He's taking me too far for me to lose my focus now. I got to stay focused on Jesus Christ. He's my commander. He's my chief. He's my Lord. He's my master. Where you go, I will go. And I got to hold on to Jesus. Church, are we ready to continue to hold on to Jesus Christ? For a state to get won, that means you got dreams, you got plans, you got your strategies. Great. But God has a plan too. And the question I wrestle with, and we all must wrestle with, is when God speaks, we must continue to listen. And verse 2, let's keep reading. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Do you see? He's already delivered. He hasn't even started going to Jericho. I deliver Jericho into your hands along with his king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with all the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. This is the most ridiculous plan I've ever read in my life. I think we get so used to reading the Bible, we read it like, oh yeah, that's what, think about that. I can't, where does God come up with this, right? And I'm just trying to think, if I was Joshua, I'm like, how do you go back and tell your people this plan? Everybody come around, priests, army, I got a plan. Where'd you get it from? From God. Here's what we're going to do. You get a ram's horn. Keep it coming. You pick up the ark. Keep it coming. We're going to fight and we're going to walk around Jericho. And we're going to fight. No, you're not. You're going to walk around, blow a trumpet here or there, go back and sleep. And then get up and you're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to do it. And on this last day, we're going to walk around 7 times. And we're going to blow trumpets and the wall's going to collapse. See, that just sounds ridiculous. But you know something? When I read this story, and I keep reading, verse 6, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered his army to advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed. It goes on and going. Do you realize that nobody questioned Joshua? Do you realize nobody said, bro, we just entered the promised land. I don't know what's in that fruit, but stop eating the fruit. Something's off. Nobody said, you've lost your mind. Are you sure it was God? Nobody said anything. What do they do? Okay, let's go. And I'm thinking, that's faith. That's faith. If Trey Wall came into Annapolis, say, hey, y'all, come on. Hey, Randy, let's get your songbook. We're going to walk around Annapolis a few times after we finish. This is how God, you would think you've lost your mind. But I think my God operates in the ridiculous. We got to be open. My second point, you got to be open to the ridiculous. You got to be open to, I don't understand it. Did you ever understand it? This is God. How do you understand it? Your mind is here. It's there. You got to be open to what is God going to do? Because once you get down and you pray and you say, I'm surrendered, God, now you got to be open. Joshua had no objections, not like Moses. He didn't question anything. He just said, God, this is, he didn't even say that. I'm just thinking, how do you just take that at faith, that faith value? And you're thinking, he must have trusted in his God. You know, I imagine this is our God. You got to think, you got to just think, this is God. Can you imagine in heaven, there's a point where they get all the angels together and God says, I got this plan. Well, what's the plan? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go down to earth. I'm going to clothe myself in flesh. This is an awesome plan. Listen to this. And then after a while, I'm going to let them kill me. And then after they kill me, I'm on the cross and I've been buried. I'm going to rise in 3 days. And guess what? They'll love me for it. That's ridiculous. But that's my God. That's the God I serve. Noah may have never seen rain. Go and build a huge ark. Why? Because I said so. I'm going to flood the world. That's faith. That's my God. Peter, get out the boat and walk on the water. Why? Because I said so. Why? Because that's my God. Give me a few loaves and a few fish. Why? I'm going to feed 5,000 people. Why? Because that's my God. I'm going to take these demons and put them in pigs. Why? Because that's just my God. It's ridiculous. Are you open? Are you open? Are you open to the ridiculous? You know what's ridiculous? 20 years ago, myself and Mike, we got a lot of stories. I'm not even sure if Mike's here. But we got a lot of stories. We did some crazy things. Lord, forgive us. But I remember we were at University of Maryland. We were like, it's 19 of us. We're going to pray. Let's pray for 50, and let's pray that we can have a service in the football stadium. I'm like, come on. And we prayed, and right before we graduated, there were 50 disciples. Where were we? And Bird Stadium, worshiping God. I said, that's my God. Pam, I see you over the corner, Pam. Pam, tell me, open to the ridiculous. I remember Pam in Taiwan at the Naval Academy. And I would drive up. And I remember one time I came up there and I thought, like, we're going to have a Bible talk. I said, there's only two disciples with the Naval Academy. Let's have a Bible talk. And they said, okay, come on. It's right over. We're going to have it over there. I'm like, over where? I said, we can't have it over there. There's like 20-something people over there. He says, Phil, that is the Bible talk. That was ridiculous. Why? Not because you're great, because you were open to God using your life. I remember Holly and I. That's right. She's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I remember. I got all these memories coming back, right? Remember leading the singles ministry, and it was 120 singles. We had 20 young married couples. We thinking, this is amazing. And it was like, every time I see Corey Chomper, it reminds me of the faith and the journey that we share with God together. Open to the ridiculous. My wife's brother passed away at the beginning of this year. And we're coming back. And as we're coming back, I got a phone call from Ray about his son having leukemia. And instead of going home, we said, I know we're tired, but I got to go see my friend. And I remember entering to the hospital and just seeing Ray and Melanie full of joy and faith. I'm thinking, how are you full of joy and faith? And they're just excited. And I'm like, we're praying together. I'm thinking, because they're open to the ridiculous. They know they serve a big God. That's the God we serve. You know, there are sisters in our church, and I can go on, right? There are stories here that I don't even know about yet. But I'm going to skip that one. I got stories, because God is amazing. There's a guy in our ministry, Ruben knows him really well, but he comes up to me at 44 years old, and he says, Phil, I'm bothered in my spirit. I said, well, why? He says, because I'm 45 years old, and I keep seeing these young people raise up and go in the ministry. I still want to be used by God. And he says, look, I want to go into full-time ministry. I'm like, look, you married with two kids with no experience. Who's going to hire you? A year and a half later, he's leading the church in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's my God. Last year, God was working on this young man's heart. This is God. I mean, this young man, 10 years, 3 kids, he's like, I want to go into ministry too. I'm like, all right, now, Henry, I'm talking, looking at you, Henry. But Alan Abelita was in the ministry when he was a kid. You have never done ministry. You're an engineer, and you don't even, what's going on? I can't even see this. Next month, he's going to leave the church in Toledo. This is our God. That's ridiculous. I can't write that story. I don't plan that. But this is how God works in his people's hearts. You know, church, I read this story. It says they got up every morning and they marched around the city. They got up every morning expecting that God would do what he said he would do. Every morning without complaining, without compromise, they got up and they started marching. It's like, what are you doing? If God said it, then I hold on to his promises. What if we, everybody that's wrong, we got up and says, you know, I'm going to get up and be open to the ridiculous. What is God going to do? I don't know. But I know the battle is won. He's already done the work. I just have to trust him. I got to get up, and when it's there, I'm like, I'm going to trust in my God. What if we as a church and God's people just stayed open to whatever God wants to do, you'd be open to taking a step of faith. What is that God can do in our lives? What is it God can do in our families in the state of Maryland? Church, I don't want to lose faith. Are you with me? I don't want to look back and say I was more fired up for God then. I don't want to get to a point in my life where I'm like, look, back then it was great. I'm like, no, it's great now. I don't want to begin to compromise and stop believing that God can still do great things. I don't want that for me, and we don't want that either. I got to stay open to the ridiculous, to the things that I don't understand, but God understands. Are you willing to stay open to what God can do in your life? God is already doing great things. He's done great things, but there's so much more that God wants to do. My last point here, in verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. Except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. And the seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it, to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her household shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are scarce, are sacred to the Lord and must be given into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, listen to this, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword everything that is in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkey. My last point is shout now. Do you hear me, church? Shout now. Shout now. You know what I'm saying? Shout now. Y'all don't even know why y'all shouting. But the trumpets, when the ram's horn would be blown, it was a blow of God's presence is with us. It was a blow of jubilee and of joy. So when they shouted, it was a battle cry of joy, and God is here and he's with us, and he shouted that, and then the walls collapsed. But understand scripture. When did the wall collapse? Was it before or after the shout? It was before the shout. They shouted before they saw the miracle. They shouted before the walls collapsed. You know, one of the things I believe for so many of us is that we don't shout loud enough of the victory we already have in Christ right now. I think so many times we walk around looking like we're defeated, and we're the children of Almighty God. We're God's children. We need to shout victory now. When the wall falls, that's nothing to do with me. But what I'm excited about is that I'm a child of God. I've been saved. Praise God. I've been reconciled to God. I am sanctified and you are right now in God. Do you understand that your eternity has already begun? Your eternity doesn't start when you die. When you came out of the water, your eternity has already begun. If you're a disciple, you're living in eternity right now. See, we don't get that. I think so many times we beat ourselves up and realize, I am saved. I am washed. I am redeemed. I am sanctified. My sins have been forgiven. Are you fired about your sins being forgiven? See, you can't wait until, well, I got good news. No, shout now. You're in Christ. See, I don't think we get it. If we got it, if we understood who we are, I'm adopted. I'm a son of God. I am chosen. I am redeemed. I am included. I'm a new creation. That's who I am on my best day and my worst day. I can shout right now because I'm a child of God, and so are you if you're in Christ. You maybe go through trials and like, how is it going to happen? I don't know, but I'm a child of God. Well, this is going to happen. How about my children? Will they become Christians? I don't know, but right now you're a child of God. But you don't understand my life, but God does. And guess what? You're a child of God. And we need to relish in that. Because when God does his part, we're going to shout victory. But we got to realize that God has already done the part. He has already won the victory. You know, Satan is already defeated. Do you realize that? Do you realize your enemy has already lost? Read Revelation 20:21. He's going down. But my name is written in the book of life. I'm going to be with God. We don't have to wait till the walls fall. Church, we need to shout for victory right now. We need to find joy in Jesus right now. We need to wake up every morning and think, I'm saved. How's the day going to go? I don't know, but I'm in Jesus right now. And if every disciple walked that way, if every disciple walked in victory, when the walls collapsed, we're like, that was my great God. Now that we're in, we just devote all the victory to God. But right now, and I shout, let us acknowledge our true commander. Let us be open to the ridiculous. In church, let us shout right now for the great things that God's going to do. Amen. Amen.